Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
This is our holiday show. Coming up, two drink recipes, a recipe for beet vinaigrette that you will absolutely love, and a crispy finger food for all your guests to enjoy. We've got a tasty squash tempura dish ahead. It's Earth Eats Holiday Show. Stay with us. Earth Eats News correspondent Megan Meyer with us again. Hey, Megan.
Nice to be here, Annie.
The holidays, you know, they're a wasteful time of year, unfortunately. But you've got a story today that hopefully will get people thinking a little bit about their wasteful ways.
Certainly. Scientists at Ryerson University in Toronto assembled a list of 15 ways people can green up their holiday season, like using LED lights for displays and taking the time to sort through recyclables after a party. They also recommend giving experience presents, like theater or concert tickets, instead of something that will just end up in the back of the closet or in the landfill. Earth Eats wanted to know more about how to make the holidays more environmentally friendly, so we talked to a couple of experts.
So we have a little specialty within our specialty, and that is putting the meaning in the greening. So not just the sustainability issues, but also finding a way to really put people first.
Corey Caldwell-Lipson and her mother, Lynn, are the mother-daughter team behind Celebrate Green, a company that helps people green up their special occasions. Corey said one of the most wasteful party practices is the use of disposable plates. Last Thanksgiving, she hosted a dinner and came up short for place settings. While Corey highly recommends renting things like place settings for those situations, she came up with a way to make it more meaningful.
But what we did is we asked our guests to each bring a place setting. And along with our place setting, we also asked them to bring a story behind the place setting so that as people ate their Thanksgiving dinner, we also got to share in the stories behind them.
Holiday and party decor is another big waste maker. Lynn says she likes to look for things she already has to decorate her home sustainably.
What we do is we pick a theme. Say you're doing red and green for Christmas. Go on a hunt through the house. See what you can find. What do you already have that's red and green, rather than feeling like you have to go out and purchase something?
Lynn recommends branches and outdoor plants for centerpieces and wreaths, or even artfully arranging baskets and cooking pots. They also talked about what they call edible decor. You can take fresh produce like apples and gourds and pineapples, core out the center and place candles or flowers inside. Corey likes to use hollow pumpkins to serve soup.
When the celebration is done, these things can be eaten or composted. So it's a zero-waste way to bring the outdoors in, to support local farmers, and to just to create less waste.
Lynn and Corey keep a blog of their tips on their website. You can find a link to their website and information about their book, Celebrate Green, on eartheats.org.
Some things to think about as you're planning your holiday parties this season. Megan Meyer, Earth Eats News correspondent, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
If you like news stories like this, follow us all week long on Twitter. Just look for Earth Eats. Step number one in hosting a party, figuring out what your guests are going to drink. You've got your traditional eggnog, spiced ciders, wine, soda. But why not try some new tastes at your party this year? The Earth Eats crew met up with Scott and Phil at Scholars Inn Gourmet Cafe and Wine Bar in Bloomington, Indiana. They gave us some tips from behind the bar.
All right, well, I'm going to start off with a very simple drink. It's going to be a cranberry cooler. So we're going to put three parts vodka, you know, whichever vodka is fine with you. We're going to do a little bit of cranberry action. And then we're going to put just a splash of soda in it. That's going to give it that little effervescent, bubbly kind of feeling, which is really nice. It's a very light. It's a great start for any holiday party.
Because you don't necessarily want to get people sloshed at your parties, necessarily.
Not early on, absolutely. Now, later on, if there's somebody nice looking. So, yeah, just mix that up. Very simple. And then you just pour it into your favorite cocktail glass. Pour that right in. And I'm going to put on just a little mint sprig with a raspberry sandwiched between a couple of blueberries.
That's beautiful. Very
Absolutely.
Festive.
And if you have a bundt cake ring, you pour some soda water or some Sprite, maybe some berries, and freeze it, and then you float that on top. And it's just a really nice, refreshing beverage to get your party started.
Excellent.
Now, so Phil is getting ready to show us how to make peppermint froth.
For this drink, we're going to start off with 1 ounce of chocolate vodka. Next, we're going to add 1 ounce of creme de cacao liqueur. We're going to add just a little touch, maybe about 1/4 ounce of creme de menthe here, clear. And then last but not least, we're going to throw in a little splash of half and half. And then we're going to shake that all together. Next, we're going to pour this into a chocolate-rimmed martini glass.
Chocolate around the rim and a candy cane and a mint leaf.
Oh, yeah. And now, take a sip.
Salud.
Cheers.
That is dangerously good. It's so minty and refreshing. Really, this would definitely start off a party just right.
Scott and Phil at Scholars Inn in Bloomington, Indiana. This place is especially known for their martinis, and they make it look so easy. Give it a shot. Let us know what your guests think about these new drinks. Drop us a line at eartheats@gmail.com. Sometimes it's not the dish itself, but what you spoon on top of it that makes food memorable. The beet vinaigrette will definitely be a memorable addition to just about any dish on your holiday entertaining menu. But first, of all the things that flavor a dish, spices, condiments, seasonings, perhaps the most used of all, salt and pepper. In virtually all dishes, you see salt and pepper to taste, and here at Earth Eats, the pepper is always freshly ground. If you've shopped for peppercorns to use in your cooking, you know that there are different varieties, different colors. Here's a little lesson on the differences.
All peppercorns are actually from the same plant. A green peppercorn, white peppercorn, and black peppercorn are all just different ages of the peppercorn. So green peppercorn's the young one, and it's still tender, and you usually find those either pickled or frozen or freeze-dried. Then you have the black peppercorn, which is a green peppercorn that's been dried, so that has more of a perfume to it. A white peppercorn is a little harder, and it's a fully matured peppercorn, and it has more heat and less perfume. So it's all the same plant, but it's just a different age of maturity.
For all your seasonings and spices, peppercorns included, we here at Earth Eats recommend using them within a year and then replacing them. That way, they'll stay fresh and flavorsome. So hey, it's almost the new year. See if you can use up the spices in your cabinet in your holiday entertaining, then treat yourself to a new batch come January. Chef, now it's time for a condiment. Beets are not at the top of my favorite foods list, but your beet vinaigrette is maybe at the top of my favorite condiments list. You first introduced this on your Harrison Lake Garden Burger. Fantastic.
Yeah, this has even made it on my fall menu at the restaurant.
So beets, they're going to last through the cold months.
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of those root vegetables you can just leave in the garden and pull out as you need. Or you can pull them, wash them, let them dry well, and then put them in the root cellar. And they'll be good for, you know, at least a month and a half.
So enough of us yapping. Let's go to the kitchen. I want to hear how to make this.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't like beets because they say they taste like dirt. And they do have a very earthy flavor. It's just important that you do clean them off really well. We're going to rinse them under cold water. We're going to trim off the tops. Now, the tops are just as good as the roots, so don't throw those away. A lot of people tend to just discard the tops of the beets, but they're great sautéed. Heat up your pan, add a little bit of garlic to it, let it start to turn nutty and brown. Quickly add your greens, a little bit of water, and that will help them steam. And within a minute or two, you have a really nice beet greens dish. Now, I'd say we've got a half cup of beets. We're going to add the juice of one orange, a little bit of orange zest as well. Okay, we're going to add some olive oil, 2 cloves of garlic, and just a little bit of water, about 1/4 cup of water. And for our acid, we're going to use a little vinegar. I'm going to use some of my homemade wild garlic vinegar, but you could use some cider vinegar would be fine, or just white vinegar. I'm going to just put the blender on.
You're a very daring man to wear a white shirt while working with beets.
Now you see, it has a nice thick viscosity to it. Tell me what you think.
Love it.
Yeah, and this is also great with goat cheese. So you could do a salad with goat cheese and then put a little bit of this sprinkled on top, drizzled on top, and have a wonderful dressing. You can use it for all kinds of things.
All kinds of things like this next recipe. We're putting a local spin on a tasty Japanese favorite, tempura. Your holiday guests will eat this up in no time.
All right, so we're going to actually celebrate the season with a beer, with a toast, but we're going to be doing it by creating a recipe with the beer, and it's going to be a tempura. We're going to be using some local acorn squash, and they've got a nice sweet flavor, and I like to use the local ones because they're not waxed, and you can eat the skin and everything. Otherwise, you may want to peel them if you get them from something other than a local farmer. All right, so what you do is we're just going to cut it in half. It'll give a little bit of a struggle. And then what you do is you take a spoon, and we're going to scoop out the seeds. And then what we're going to slice these into very thin half moons. Thin so they cook very quickly, because tempura is a quick cooking method. All right, and now we're going to make the batter for them.
The beer is taunting me. Yeah. It's just sitting there.
So we got some good local brew from Upland Brewery. And to that we're going to add cornstarch, regular white flour, pinch of salt, and a pinch of sugar. And it's important that all of your ingredients are nice and cold. That's going to help it adhere to the vegetables better.
And warm beer just sounds really gross.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to add one of our local eggs. And these are from pastured chickens, which are happy chickens. And then it's always a good idea to do a test batch. And so what we're going to do is just going to have our fryer oil heated to about 350 degrees. If it doesn't adhere very well, it means you need a little more flour. So back to the fryer we go. What you're trying to achieve is a very, very thin coating. So we're going to let these cook for about 2.5 minutes. One thing you must do is as soon as they're ready, serve them, because you don't want them to get soggy.
So you've got your plate with a paper towel ready to go?
Yeah, you always want to dump these out onto an absorbent piece of paper towel. And then we're going to put a little bit of salt on them. And you always want to season fried things as quickly as you can after they come out of the oil, so the salt will adhere to it. If they cool down a bit, your salt won't adhere to the vegetables. And you don't just have to use the acorn squash. You could use any type of squash, or you could do a combination of vegetables and throw in some parsnips and some carrots. And if you want to, you could even do some prawns and some little bit of chicken or something like that. And it's for you to give a try.
Woo, a little warm. Oh my goodness. Let it cool off a little bit before you eat it. Boy, I could eat this all day.
This is one of those dishes that people will just camp out in front of. Put a bowl of beet vinaigrette next to it, get a mint froth in their hands, and you've got yourself one kickin' holiday party this year. Print all the recipes on this episode from our website, eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop. Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.